Listeners be advised. The Holiloquy podcast discusses matters related to the human experience and many that are sexual in nature. Due to this, some conversations may surround triggering topics such as sexual violence, self-harm, abuse, and much more. Please be advised. A list of crisis and psychological resources will be available in the show notes of this episode. With that said, let's get started with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please, as we go through the following safety instructions.
In the event that there is a loss of cabin pressure, oxygen mask will drop from the overhead. Place the mask over your nose and mouth. Breathe normally as oxygen is flowing even if the mask is not accessible. Be sure to adjust your own mask before helping others.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the Holiloquy podcast, where we step out and speak on sexuality. This is your favorite host, Vernon T. Scott, also known as Slater Jackson. And for you freaky motherfuckers out there, Sebastian Adams. On today's episode, we are bringing back one of the oldies and one of my faves, online versus traditional dating. And with me to discuss this is Edward. How are you doing?
I'm good. I thought you were calling me an oldie. And I was like, escape, escape.
Abort the mission.
End call.
How dare you lie to these people?
How dare you? I'm going to turn off my ring light so this light isn't doing this whole thing. I'm doing well. Things are a little crazy. You know, like we were talking about earlier, like the whole job market thing of it all. Like I was laid off at the end of May and I've just kind of been poking around to see what I can find. I've been temping and, you know, it's just finding a variety of ways to make money in this economy. You know, it's a journey.
Yes. And it, like I was saying earlier, I'm on that job market hunt as well. And I hate that it's so hard to find a job in like something that you're passionate about. And I'm just like, I swear, I'm like extremely niche in what I want to do.
What do you want to do?
So I want to work with people who are victims of sexual assault and also create training programs for like community-based learning, as well as like helping people understand what rape culture is and like developing platforms and like educational courses for that. And I'm just like, why is that hard to find? I know it's completely specific, but I'm also like, come on, we have all these organizations, like hire
totally people. But I'm also gonna say that like if you can't find it because it's so specific, just create it yourself.
That is true. That's also the reason I know that's why a totally Slater's Playhouse.
Oh, I know that's like a totally, I'm not even gonna ask. I know that that's a totally different like skill set to like build something like that under like a not-for-profit 501c3 kind of situation. But like, if you know what the conversation is and how to build it, then like the business side is just like throw some money at somebody who does know how to do it.
Right. And Vernon's that person who knows how to do it in some levels. Come on.
If you're listening and you know how to do it and set up a 501c3, please contact Vernon. Right.
Because it's like, I know that's like my passion project. And I do it on some level. And I plan on making Slater's Playhouse as one of those spaces for people to go to learn these things. Slater's Playhouse is my publishing business. But
Got it. Okay. Cool.
But at the same time, I also want to make money so I can build this for myself. Like, I don't mind working on that privately. So I'm like, can I get in a role where I can help people within the community make a living as well as save in the process so that I have, you know, cushion to do my passion projects and allow that to, you know, skyrocket my career later on in life as I, you know, build sustainably.
Totally. Well, and I also think this is such a good tie-in for the subject of this podcast anyway, because it's talking about traditional versus online and kind of what you're talking about is like the traditional idea of what a business and a company and a job is versus the online version of that. And that is how I'm assuming you would want to function. Mm-hmm. So like bridging that gap between the traditional way of doing this in the old world, 501c3, brick and mortar, kind of like having a community center kind of thing, whereas you're creating an online community center in the digital space that would also be a 501c3, but would probably function and look a little bit different than it would be if it was associated with your traditional community center or something like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Breaking barriers, Brennan.
Oh, just a little bit of something.
If you build it, he will come and come and come.
Yes, but oh, before we even get into the topic, Edward, who the fuck are you? Like, people need to know. Like, oh my god, I know that you, I know you're amazing.
Well, thank you. You know, the question of who I am has come up a lot in the last couple of years since shutdown situation. And you know, it's been a really interesting journey in the middle of my 30s to be like, who am I? What is this meat sack I'm living in? You know, it's, I guess on the surface, I'm a creator. I'm a creative person. I always have been. I grew up around creative people, musicians specifically, you know, and always in the arts, always in theater, always wanting to entertain and be on a stage somewhere. That is kind of shifting in a sense where I'm leaning more into the business side of it, but then also still creating under that umbrella of the business side of it, which, you know, is literally just creating, because we have to understand, which most creative people have a hard time doing, is that it's a business and you have to understand that part for your thing that you've created to do well. You know, as much as we would all just like to be like, I created a thing and go out into the universe and be successful. It's show business, y'all. So I'm kind of like becoming Mr. Show Business for myself, essentially, is what it is. But I'm an author. I just had a book published this year called Cancer, Musical Theater, and Other Chronic Illnesses that is now being adapted into TV. I just had a producer meeting yesterday with someone from HBO. I'm so excited they want to come on board. So we're kind of like walking down that road now, you know, and that was always the plan. The plan was always, I wrote the book with in mind that I wanted this to be a TV show. And, you know, I wrote it very much in the brain lens of Rob Marshall, who directed the Chicago movie musical and the Nine movie musical. And like, he's done a ton. He just did the Mary Poppins remake. Brilliant, brilliant man. And I very much wrote the book in the lens of his brain. And so that's what we're doing now. You know, all like my acting, singing stuff is kind of on pause, hold indefinitely until that's kind of the thing. And that's what we're doing next.
Yes, I love that for you. This, he said that he got contacted by hoes being outrageous. Yes.
But that's the thing, like, and that's like, you have to be outrageous. And it's very much like, you know, you hear so many of these fucking people online being like, you have to be your authentic self and then people will come to you. And like, it's hard to be your authentic self when you're creating things to put online, because you're very purposefully being like, look at me, I'm here and this is what you should be doing. And, rah, rah, rah. And like, you know, I'm specifically speaking to like coaching world and then like the online business thing of it all. But it's really strange how like when those things kind of fall into place and you do ease back into it a little bit, how things just happen. And this week, you're catching me on a good week for this conversation, especially with like the dating situation as well of it all, because things have been moving in that kind of world for me for the first time ever, like really ever, like it's been ages. I'm a dusty old bitch. But, you know, like it really is just this piece that I've created that is so just me. And the people who have read it, the people I'm approaching to do things with it, it's going to be very divisive. You're either going to love it and think it's brilliant or going to be like, you're crazy, get away from me. And so far it's been the you're brilliant, I love this. So we'll see what happens, but that's the road we're going down.
And I love that for you. Yes. Now I will say, like, I do sometimes have issues with the being authentic people online, because there's never any like lessons behind that. It's like for me, if you're going to do something to help people, do it out of like honesty and earnest, and like rather than always putting things behind a paywall. Like, that's why I have this podcast. You do not have to pay to get access to this information that I'm providing on this show, because I want it to be something that possibly helps somebody. But if I'm going to say, oh my gosh, I have such a great podcast that you just need to listen to it, and most of the things that I put out there is behind a paywall, why? Like, that's defeating the purpose of me being my authentic self, because I actually want this to help.
Right. Well, and I think there's, it's not, you know, it's not a monolith. Like all of this mm-hmm. comes in tiers. So like you have your podcast and that can be free and access to everyone and kind of democratizing that. But then like, if you're going to be doing one-on-one work with people and mm-hmm. teaching people, then that's behind a paywall because like that is your expertise. That's the thing that people are going to pay you for. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Where I have issue with it is, you know, I'll speak to my experience as a cancer survivor. There are so many people out there who are coaches who claim to help people through their recovery, mm-hmm. and they're charging thousands and thousands of dollars to people who have just gone through yes. cancer, who've just gone through treatment and like the worst hell of their life, and they're trying to figure out what their new identity is as a human, which is a lot of what I talk about in my book. But like, these people are like, pay me $10,000 and I'll help you form this next chapter of your life. And I'm sorry, like, unless you are a therapist or a psychologist that has a specific focus in that kind of work, you are not, and have had cancer and have had done this, you are not qualified to do that. And you're not qualified to charge for it. So I totally know what you mean, because it drives me nuts watching this kind of thing happen online where people are like, be authentic, but also pay me millions of dollars to do this. It's like, all right, well, I think there's room for best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. And,
I am opinionated.
No, I
that's
truly,
also who I am.
I truly agree with you, because it's like, what are you moving towards when you do these certain things and say these things to these people? And I get like, yeah, to survive in the world that we live in this fucking economy, you do have to gatekeep your talent, which is great, but you also have to be realistic about the services that you provide. And if you don't have the credentials to back the things up, if you actually how can you tell other people to be their authentic selves and your business behaviors are inauthentic?
I mean, there are so many answers to that I don't think we have the time to go all through them. I mean, I know people who are in like actor theater coaching world that are like, I'm going to teach you how to book your first Broadway show. And they have never once been on Broadway. It's like, no, I love these humans, but just, I understand what you're trying to do, but just no.
Yeah, that's like every time I see somebody that's like, oh, I'm going to teach you about financial literacy. And at the same time, it's like the only reason why you have the money that you have is because you sell in a course, and that's gaslighting people and telling them that it's their fault that they're not successful, rather than being completely real with them and teaching them different strategies of how they can save money. And
yes, well, then exactly. But then there's also the people that are like, you know, I'm going to teach you how to be financially successful, but then their parents were rich, their grandparents were
that
rich.
That part.
And it's like, then I don't want to listen to you. Like, it doesn't, it's of very little value to me to listen to someone who already had money,
mm-hmm.
who is giving someone who doesn't have money advice on how to make money. It's like, yes, sure, listen to people who are more successful than you, sure. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's about knowing the background of where they're coming from. That is, you know, and that's the other thing. There's a lot of privilege in theater world as well, and so you have to look at that, like, what are these people who are telling you that they can teach you how to be successful, where are they coming from? Because if it's from a wealthy family that had access to people to get you that success, then like, I'm not going to listen to you, because your experience maneuvering through the industry is very different than mine. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be able to just magically overnight have the contacts that you have and become successful. Like, that's just not,
it's not real.
No.
Oh, anyways, now that we got that off of our chests,
right?
Chest. That's the word. So going into online versus traditional dating, one of the things that we talked about was that that there are some generational differences between the two, like what we prefer these days and whatnot. I'm trying to channel everything that we talked about that day, and it's so hard for me to do that most of the time. But what are some of those generational differences?
The Holiloquy Podcast focuses on the variability of sexual expression. When it comes to sexual expression, we often depend on pornography to illustrate how one must perform sexually. For those who have not learned this by now, the stuff you see in porn is not real. Pornography provides a singular perspective of sexual expression that is not often the reality we see during our own sexual encounters. The Holiloquy Podcast is a conversation that takes you outside of the compressed box of what many know about sex. Some of the topics we discuss includes kinks, condom usage, status disclosure, and past sexual experiences. The Holiloquy Podcast steps out on sexual norms and recognizes that the norm is not the only normal. Subscribe today and join the conversation.
What we prefer these days and whatnot. I'm trying to channel everything that we talked about that day, and it's so hard for me to do that most of the time. But what are some of those generational differences?
Well, I think what we're looking at now, this conversation of like traditional versus online dating, it really kind of depends on the age of the person that you're talking to. Like, again, I'm in my mid-30s, so I grew up without the internet. Like, I didn't have the internet until I was probably 15 or 16. Maybe a little earlier than that, but you know what I mean. And then, like, I didn't have an iPhone until I was like 22, you know, like, so I spent more than half of my life without one. And so the accessibility that we have to humans now for professional purposes, for dating purposes, whatever, is just different. And I cannot imagine what it would be like to be someone younger right now who has grown up without ever knowing anything else. You know, because to me that, and I can't speak for like a 20-year-old right now, but like to me it's like, oh, dating, you go online to do that. And it's like, wait, you guys used to meet people in bars? You know, and we all do it, you know. It's not like from a place of judgment. Do I think that it'd be really nice to have like the Hallmark movie moment where you like bump into someone on the train and you have like sparks and magic and you go home with them and then like 6 months later you're married? Sure, that would be cute. That would be real cute and it would make such a great story. But to me, all that is a great story. And like, are there true things that happen along those lines where people do fall into relationships in that way? Yeah, sure, probably. Not me. I met one of my exes in a threesome. So like,
ooh, I love that. That's an interesting story there.
Yeah, well, it was until it wasn't. But you know, it. I don't know if there. I don't think there's a right or wrong way to do it. It just is different. And there's a guy that I pride myself on the fact that I have a lot of older gay friends. Like we're talking in their 60s, and obviously like they didn't have the internet until they were 30 either, you know, or like 40 really. Mm-hmm. So like watching them date in the online space is very different than watching someone who grew up with the internet and apps dating in the online space. And like, admittedly, I'm so bad at dating. Like we're coming up on 10 years of being single here. So like, you know, I don't want to do it. I don't like doing it necessarily. I'm very busy a lot of the time. And so I just don't prioritize the time to do it. And the couple dates that I have been on in the last year or so have just been kind of underwhelming. And so I don't know if that is because of who I'm attracting, if that is because I met them on an app and there's like a different quality of person on an app versus not. But then also with that said, being on an app myself and having friends who are wonderful, lovely human beings who are also on apps, it's just like, that's kind of also not a good accusation of that. Mm-hmm. And like to me, and I hate this phrase because I feel like it's just laying down, but it is what it is, you know, and like whatever works for you works for you.
No, I agree with that. Like, I've met some wonderful people in like public settings where we had great conversation, but not a good, you know, chemistry. I've met people in public settings who were just complete trash. And I've also met similar people online as well. It's like, regardless of where you look, these profiles, these individuals in person, they're actual people. And because they're on an online database or they're in person, they're still a human being. They're still somebody who behaves in reality or whatever the reality looks like. These are people who are living and doing the things. So yeah. They can only present themselves however they choose to present themselves, regardless of the container that you use. I can be at a bar and this person still be trash. I can meet them or, you know, I met that same person online and they will still be trash. Like, it's just who they are. It takes them having the intentions of growing something or wanting to engage in something outside of just the apps or outside of just sex on a first date or outside of just having conversations with the person and not growing from that. It takes the intention behind that to actually build a relationship. And I think that's the thing we fail to understand when it comes to either form of dating.
Well, and I also kind of want to point out that, like, being on an app and talking to multiple people at once and getting messages and notifications from those people releases dopamine in your brain. Mm-hmm. That's like, oh my God, somebody messaged me. Yay, love, do more of that so you can get more of this dopamine situation. And, you know, if I think that by doing that, that is kind of what is maybe dulling down the excitement of meeting someone that you're really interested in. Because if you're really interested in that person and you meet up and you have a great time, like, that's more dopamine. But then you go home and you're so addicted to having that notification constantly and that instant gratification that when you go home and that person isn't there, you still need it. So you go back to the apps and then you get into this headspace of like, there's something more around the corner. There's something closer. There's something nearby. There's something this, that, and the next thing. And it's not that I think having access to that amount of people is bad. Like, I have friends overseas that I've talked to for years on apps that I've been able to meet over the over time, you know, as friends and whatnot and whatnot. but like, you know, I do think that there is a level of addiction of that feeling of getting notifications that overrides the actual want to make an authentic connection. And I know this because I will delete all of the apps. I only really have one or two, but I will delete them all off of my phone for like months at a time, sometimes years. I went 2 years without being on an app. And, you know, it was great. You don't have that pull or that sense to like, oh, I need to check my scruff or whatever. I need to check and see if I have any messages from people, because that need for the dopamine and for that instant gratification of talking to someone that you're attracted to picture profile wise is gone. And then you do kind of open yourself up for meeting people who are organically in person on the street, on a subway car, whatever. And I'll combat my own theorizing there by saying that we're living in a place where people don't trust each other. And like, we want to know everything about someone before we even meet them to see if they're safe, if they're worth our time. And the safety component, of course, because of what you talk about with like sexual assault and everything else, like, of course, that's important for you to know if that person is safe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, pros and cons.
Yeah. And I was thinking about like how I engage on many of these dating apps, like for if it's like a casual hookup or something like that, which I'm moving a lot further away because like, I'm currently in the stage of truly only focusing on myself and not including any kind of sexual things within that because I have the toys that I need that would get the job done. And I love that for myself. But outside of that,
some I'm plastic just, and some batteries, man.
Go a long fucking way. So it's like, outside of that, like, I don't want to lead any person on, making them think that there's going to be a potential relationship or even just have those conversations with people while I'm in the phase of adjusting myself. But on top of that, I'm a firm believer if I actually see something in a person and I want to grow something with them, I don't want to engage on those apps. Yeah, yes, we met on this app, we are communicating on this app, but let's move our communication somewhere off the app. Let's exchange each other's numbers so we can communicate that way. That way I'm not looking forward to an app to notify me or anything. It's just my regular text messages.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have my do not disturb on, so sometimes I might be I might respond a little bit later than
right. It's gonna take a minute to get back to you, but
but I appreciate you for texting. I will get to you within hours.
No, I think it's really a culturally strange place that we've found ourselves in when it comes to this, because I don't think it's bad either way. You know, like if dating on apps works for you and you've been able to find long-term relationships through that, or make connections with people that are maybe not long-term but more platonic, long-term in the platonic sense, but like, you know, if I've certainly met tons of people on apps over the years that have still remained in my life in some capacity or another, and I'm grateful for that. You know, so many of my good friends that are like in my inner circle of like the private information about the ongoings in my life, like those are people that I've met off of apps. And you know, I do think it's different now in the making friends component of it all than it was years ago. Because years ago, if you wanted to make friends, you just went to bars and like you like hung out in bars and you talked to people, and we all didn't have our cell phones like in our faces all the time. I remember being there used to be a bar in New York called Therapy. It fell down a couple years ago. The wall literally crumbled and they closed it. So many opinions, but
you can tell.
Yeah, but right, the bar called Therapy fell apart. I can't. But I remember when iPhones first came out and like Grindr and all of that was the go-to thing, like before there were any other apps really. I remember going to this bar and walking in, and like there was like this, the stairs were in, like you walked in and there were stairs to the left, and it's open now as a different bar, so I don't know if it has the same setup, but you'd walk to the back and the bathrooms were straight ahead, and then to the left was the bar and then this big community table and then a little like standing area here that had a little shelf for your drink. And I remember seeing all of these people sitting at the table and backing up against the wall that were like down on their phones and then like looking around the bar for the person that they like saw on the grid. And I just remember I was young. I think I was probably maybe like 22 or 3 or something like that. And I just remember being like, oh no, like no one talks to each other anymore. And I remember this shift of like being at gay bars back in the day when flip phones were still a thing and nobody gave a shit and there were no apps and everything else, and there was still this camaraderie. Like I met this guy Josh like through other friends, and we hung out by this door in the back and we're talking, and like still one of my favorite memories of the first summer that I lived in New York. And we were talking and I don't know what happened, but he like leaned back laughing and the door was unlocked and he fell on the floor on his back, and we were just like laugh crying until our faces hurt. It was so fun. And I just don't know if that happens anymore. Mm-hmm. Because I it probably does, but I remember when it was first new, all the apps were new, and just seeing people in bars like with their faces in their phones in their apps, like cruising for people who were literally in the bar. And it just was this weird, like we were talking about earlier, barrier to entry of like, just go talk to them.
Mm.
You know, the pre-iPhone, like just go talk to them thing is kind of over, I think. And maybe it still happens, you know, like where people just come up to you at bars and talk to you. I don't know if it happens as often. It's certainly different. But I just remember that being a very pivotal moment where it was like, oh shit. And I had this realization where it's like, wow, people are just on their phones on the front. Why am I paying, you know, $15 a drink here where I could just be at home on my phone if that's what we're doing here? Like it's weird.
I would have to say I'm guilty of doing that on some level.
Of course, like, we all are. I've totally 100% done that. And I'm not saying this from this place where like I'm perfect and I've never done this. I'm just saying, like, I remember the first time that I clocked it. And it has just become normalized, and it's just the thing that we do.
Like for me, whenever I do it, is not to like engage with anybody. It's more so like just let y'all motherfuckers know I'm in the building. And if you communicate with me, you communicate with me. Just know you might not get a response until I get home. And I'm like, I can actually focus on it, because I've gotten to a place now that I've been, I will say there was a period of time I was attached to my phone, but after that year or two, I started to detach a lot more. Like oftentimes I got to a point where I kept leaving my phone in my car. I will get into my room, watching TV or something like that. And I'm like, oh, I need to respond to a text message. And then I'm looking for my phone and I'm like, did I leave it at the gas station? Did I lose my phone? Oh my God. Oh shit, I lost my damn phone. Go out into the car. One time I literally drove to this Chinese restaurant that I went to earlier that day and asked them if I left my phone. And it was like, no, we didn't see anything. Nobody reported anything. I was like, damn, somebody stole my phone. Got back home, parked my car, and something fell out as soon as I parked. And I was like, oh shit, there's my phone.
There's my phone.
And yeah. I drove there just to find out the phone was in the car this entire time. Wow. So after then, I was like, maybe I should have a little bit of an attachment to my phone to the point that I don't lose it on purpose or on accident. So at least I am cognizant that it's not around me or yeah. I'm aware of where it's at. But outside of that, like, I enjoy just being in the moment with people now, not being stuck on looking to see who's all in the area around me, seeing who's attractive and stuff like that. I get in public spaces, that's in mixed company, the urge of not wanting to offend somebody by saying, hey, you're attractive, blah, 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 or that fear of rejection. I get all of that. Yeah. But at the end of the day, when you're in person, most definitely in queer safe spaces, and you're unable to communicate with somebody, just to acknowledge that you find them attractive and handle that rejection, it's a moment where you have to reflect on the reasons behind that and unpack yeah. those feelings.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I definitely think that it has an emotional effect on us all, you know, and we, this is a broader conversation with like internet trolling and whatnot, but it does embolden people to say things that they wouldn't necessarily say to your face. Like, you know, how many times have you gone up to someone at a bar and been like, show me your dick? Or like they just walk up to you at a bar and they like whip their dick out in your face. Like that's not how we behave in public, and it has created this very strange transactional like interaction with people that is very different to the way that it used to be before. And that's not to say that transactional sex and interactions never happened. It's just making it on an even less personal level. Because before all of this, you would go to a bar, you would meet someone, you would make the choice to go home with them, you would hook up with them or whatever. Maybe you would spend the night, maybe you wouldn't. But at the end of that, it was probably made pretty clear that like this wasn't going to go beyond here, like have a good day, goodbye. And like, sure, maybe that hurt and maybe that sucked, but like, I would rather feel hurt and be like, that was a really mean thing to do than not feel anything because someone just didn't respond. Cause then you're just like swiping to the next person and like swiping to the next message and going to the next profile. And it's sad. And I'm again saying this from a place where I do it, and it makes me sad that I'm doing it. And again, that is why I end up deleting them all a lot of the times, because it just wears on me that it's like, I'm spending all this time on this app. I'm not really meeting anybody. The people that I am meeting are like not what I'm looking for in the end. And so like, why am I spending all this time and energy here? I have things I want to do and create. And so why don't I just delete them to free up my time?
That part right there. And yeah, that's definitely something that like, that's another reason why I try my best to like keep myself removed from the apps, is because I've realized how I became a little bit more needy for the response rather than just enjoying my day. And I'm
at that goes back to like the dopamine thing and the instant gratification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm finally at that point again where I'm not looking for a response from people. I'm not waiting for them to say anything. If we start a conversation, that conversation continues another day. That's great. That's fine. If I'm on my phone, I'll respond. But I'm no longer in the process of ruling my day based off of the responses of other people, even when I'm horny. Like, yeah, there are some times where I'm just like, oh, I really do want to like hook up with somebody, and let's see if somebody I've communicated with in the past is available. If they're not, okay, damn, now I actually have to go on the apps and find somebody. But even at that, like, I remember someone mentioning that it might have been something on IG where they mentioned that we need to stop looking at masturbation. It might have been Nicole. Anyways, we need to stop looking at masturbation as a consolation prize. Like, oh, because I didn't find anybody, now I need to masturbate. No, I've already masturbated a couple times. I just want somebody here to make this process a little bit quicker so I can get to the point I need to get to. That's why I'm on this app looking for you. But if I have to do it myself, I shall get it done myself. And that's my mindset these days. Like, if it's something that's not going to make my process a little bit shorter, because I cannot be spending 3+ hours to get to the point I need to get to, then yes, I'm going to be on the app to find somebody and make it a little bit shorter for me.
Well, and I also think, you know, for me, this is like my happy medium of everything that we're kind of talking about, is just having people that are like reliable and trusted and that you know and whatnot. Like, there's some people that like I've been casually hooking up with for a decade. Like, just talked to one the other day, you know, and like we know each other, we're friends. I don't know if we've hung out socially more than a couple times, but like, you know, it's one of those things where if they're in town or they're available, they send a text. If we can do it, great. If not, it's no pressure. And these are people who I love these people. I think they're absolutely wonderful people. You know, and I think there's so much power in having that kind of friendship with people, because then you don't have to go through the whole tedious, like, trying to search for someone on an app. Like, who cares? Like, stop. Like, just stop. Like, make... And then a good friend of mine actually asked me a question a while ago, and I think this is obviously very person specific and it takes a certain amount of emotional maturity for this, but like infusing intimacy back into friendships, you know, like being comfortable with engaging with your best friends and your inner circle with like making out or cuddling or whatever you want to do with them, as long as everyone's comfortable and on the same page. For me, that doesn't necessarily work. My brain compartmentalizes things very neatly. And so like, if you're in the friend box, that's where you're going to stay. And I can love you in the way that I love you, but it's not really probably not going to get to a place where it's physical. And that's not because I don't think you're attractive. It's just not the dynamic.
Mm-hmm. I get that. Like, with some of my friends, we can cuddle together and all of those great things because we just have that comfort with each other. But at the same time, we're not making out with each other. We're not doing that. And that's just, like you said, that's the dynamics of that relationship.
Yeah. And I think to be honest with you, I'm kind of jealous of people who are able to do that and not have any kind of like emotional turmoil about it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like this understanding. It's, you know, it's like the magical fairy, like queer community of people that are just like, everyone is one and equal. And I just like, my brain doesn't do that. And I wish that I could get to a place where it did, in a sense, because I think it's wonderful, but it's just not in my experience so far. It just has not been for me.
Yeah. And I will say the other thing is like having like those friends would benefit relationships. And I'm a firm believer that if I consider you, if we're going to use that title for whatever the situation is, that the friendship is something that's important to me, that you're not here because just the sex. I want to build that friendship with you, meaning we can go out and have a good time, enjoy a meal and all these other things, recognizing that this is, well, you know, friend dates or whatever, but this is nothing leading towards romance, nothing leading towards us being together long term, but this is us engaging with each other as friends. And we also happen to have sex too, and just respecting those boundaries between each other. Like, even if that person happens to be in a relationship too, is understanding that this is what our dynamics are, and I respect the dynamics of whoever that cases. If your partner feels some type of way about us engaging in that manner, I will not do that because I respect your relationship. Right.
I'm out. I'm not here to I'm not here to break anybody up. Like,
exactly. That's not my intentions at all. Yeah. I'm here for the friendship side of things, primarily, and the benefits is just something extra. And I like, whenever I'm engaging on online spaces and I ask somebody about like their intentions, what they're looking for on the app, this is what I'm probing for, to see if they're comfortable with having an actual intimate connection on the level of friendship Or if they're looking for romance, if they're looking to be in a long-term relationship, or are they just looking for somebody that they just want to fuck? Those people who's just trying to fuck somebody, I save them for that horny night where I'm just like, I need somebody over here to do a little bit of sun.
Yeah.
Outside of that, we're not going to be engaging with each other.
Sure. Well, and also like that whole, like, again, the transactional thing, I truly think I've outgrown it, you know, like, and again, I have done a lot of it and I don't think I have any feelings about it in the sense that like it's good or bad or whatever. It is what it is. And you can do whatever you want. Like, I'm so here for the sex positivity of it all. But for me, like, I don't like the whole anonymous thing. I kind of don't like the one and done thing. Like, I want to have a level of comfortability. The people that I have known for years that we have had this kind of dynamic for years, like, the sex just gets better, you know? Yes. And like, why would you not want that? You know, like, if these like anonymous guys, like, I get the appeal. I totally do. And, you know, been there, done that many, many a time. But first of all, I want to see your face. I want to look at you, you know, yes. Like, I want to look at your face and I want to connect with you in that way. And there's so many people who are so uncomfortable with that. Like, how many times have I like been on a date with someone and then like, we go to, you know, seal the deal at the end of the night and they like lay there with their eyes shut or they like don't actually look at you. And it's just so weird. And it's, again, I don't know if this is like an app thing or an internet thing, but it's that inability or unwillingness or maybe emotional immaturity is what I'm talking about, to look at someone in the eyes and have that connection. Like, if you're and the thing is too, like, if you're closing your eyes and you're just like disconnecting because you're either not into me or you didn't want to do this in the first place, then like say that, because I'm very clear a lot of the times, if not all the time, about like, are we good? Like, do you want to do this? Can we? Like, is this cool? And oftentimes, like, during, I'll be like, you good? And like just check in that way, because I want to make sure that that person is all right.
Yes,
because that also comes from a place where I've been on the receiving end of things and I wasn't all right, and it was just being like, you know, energetically bowled over, you know, without much say in it. And I don't want to put someone in that position.
I get that 100%. I will say, on some level, well, actually not on some level, I am the same way. Like, that's why I truly appreciate those bonds that are more strong and not just the one-nighters, because like one thing I hate is for someone to tell me that they are looking for like a friends with benefits or finding friendship on these apps and building like relationships of whatever that looks like, and their only purpose is just to have a quick nut. I'm just like, why even lie? Like, yeah. Why not present yourself and authentically what you're looking for? Because if that happens to be what I'm on that night, then you might get what you want. But at the same time, why present yourself as though that you really do want to engage and know each other or meet on a regular basis and develop some kind of friendship, a relationship or what have you, and you don't really want that? Like, it always leaves me feeling bewildered in a sense, like, why? Like, we did not have to go down this route. We could have just been adult about this and had the conversation that was pertinent to that. And even whenever I do find those people who are honest about that, and I appreciate them for their honesty, and I tell them, thank you for being honest with me, but unfortunately, this is not what I'm looking for. But again, thank you. Like, you find me attractive, I found you attractive, but on outside of the sexual level, there's nothing that we can build from that. And that's something that I'm not looking for, most definitely at this point in my life. And even with those anonymous people and who will message and want to hook up and all these other things, I'm like, I'm glad that you find me attractive. I love that for you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. But I need you to return the favor on that, because what will be the purpose of me knowing that you're attracted to me and I have absolutely no idea what's supposed to be coming my way? Because attraction has to work both ways with this motherfucker right here.
Yeah, no, I mean, same. And like, why would you want to hook up with someone who's not into you? Like, that doesn't feel good. Like, nobody wants that. So, you know, like, I've literally hooked up with people who told me afterwards that they were not that into me.
Wow.
And it was like, it's happened twice in my whole life that that was verbalized to me. And it doesn't feel good. So like, why would you not have that conversation beforehand or have the wherewithal to be like, you know what? Like, I don't think this is not what I want. And I'm so sorry. Like, let's just be adults about it, you know? And this is again, I think kind of a symptom of, you know, communicating digitally 100% of the time, because you lose that ability to communicate verbally and just be able to say out of your mouth, like, hey, I'm really sorry, you know, like, I'm just not that into you. And it's, you know, it's nothing personal. It's just me and it's cool. And, you know, we don't have to make this a thing. I would much rather hear that than be like halfway through something and have them be like disassociated, like glazed over looking at the ceiling. Like, nobody wants that. Like, just communicate. And that is kind of one thing that I do like about smaller dive bars in the city. Like, there's a couple here that are on the smaller, grungier side of things that I, when I was drinking more often, I would go to, that people would talk to you, and it was very neighborhoody. And I could most of the time show up at a bar and know someone. And so then it was like talking to them and then meeting their friends, and like, just felt, it feels so much better than just being on your phone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel for the, And it's so easy to clock too. And like, people show up at a bar together and then they sit down at the bar and they're drinking, and the whole time they're like at the bar leaned over their phone, and like, they'll exchange words to each other every so often. And it's like, are you friends? Is this a bad date? Like, what is happening here? Like, right. It just makes me uncomfortable for them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I love human connection. I like people a lot and I want to get to know people often. And like, putting this barrier of screens between people, like even what we're doing now, it's like, God, I just wish this was in person, you know, like, I so prefer it. I understand that, like, of course, with the use of phones and apps and internet and everything else, we get to meet people that we would never have met otherwise. And that's so cool to be able to cast such a wide net. And again, like I said, I have friends all over the world because of it. That I've met who have been here in the city that have like follow me on socials or whatever. And like, they're people that I care about very much. So, you know, and it's, you know, more of that, but in person, please.
Yes. Yes. That's one of the things I crave myself too. Like, I often think about like when I was in undergrad and there was like random events on campus that I would love to, I go to because it's fun, it's enjoyment, it's like things to do with other people, to do things with other peers, even peers that you don't even know that exist on your campus. It's just something completely new. You enjoyed it and you found a new friend in the process. And I think outside of those spaces, in these spaces where you have the choice of all the different things, people choose to not indulge in it. And I'm just like, why not? Like, I've recently started going to a lot more poetry events and I've met new people.
Oh, cool.
So amazing. Like, I performed at some of these events. It's like, I'm still, you know, I still have my friend groups, but I'm expanding the people that I know in the process. I'm connecting with a lot more people by going outside of either my comfort zone or going to new places that I've never been before, because that's how you really get to grow the people that you know. That's how you get to understand different perspectives. That's how you get to engage in different facets of life, because you're taking the opportunity to step outside of just having the phone in your hand. Like, Instagram is great. It gives you glimpses into other people's lived experiences. But at the same time, you have so much beauty within your own neighborhood that you tend to not notice because you're so focused on your phone and other people's lives. Well,
and I will say this really quick. So one of the things that I do in my professional world is like marketing, branding on social media specifically. Like, I will help you build your brand. I will help you like schedule the things out, give you content ideas, help you create it, all the things. And so for that purpose, it's great to build community. Now, the way that is starting to function within the online space is very much community building instead of I'm selling a thing. Mm-hmm. Bigger brands are starting to do it. We're starting to see trends in product placement versus selling for people who are doing affiliate marketing and otherwise, you know, like, instead of being like, hey, this is my water bottle, you should buy it. It's like over here and you're having a 20-minute conversation and it's just there. And then if people are into it, they're into it. and the Lask. There was a video that just went viral recently with this woman who had a Rugrats like thermal thing, whatever. And she wasn't making a video about it. She was just like preparing a drink or something in it. And then people went apeshit for it. And she made a follow-up video that was like, oh my God, I had no idea you guys were going to love this. Like the links below, that's where I bought it. Like go buy it. It's this creator and whatnot. And then there was another follow-up video where that creator had messaged her and they had life-changing amounts of orders. And so like for that purpose, like social media is wonderful because you are then creating a community around this experience, and it's micro experiences like that, and then a larger experience as a whole. And like, again, if that is happening at the very top of corporate where they're trying to build communities and they're trying to build an audience that like a conversation can be had around multiple facets of that brand or whatever the thing is that you're doing online, cool. But then also, aren't we as people wanting that? If that is what the trend is with businesses online and how to sell your thing and communicate with the people around you, shouldn't then we also as humans be trying to create that where we are the quote-unquote corporation and building community and audience around ourselves? Like a friend of mine in the neighborhood, she and I are putting together queer gatherings in our specific neighborhood because we live uptown in Manhattan. There is no queer space up here. There's no gay bar. There's nothing. There used to be one down on 125th, but even that is still 50 blocks below where we live. So we're doing kind of like this bar hop situation where like once a month we pick a bar and we message all the queer people that we know in our neighborhood, and we're assembling a email list, and we're trying to get people who are up in the Washington Heights, Inwood, Fort George area to gather and come together. And let me tell you, the response of that is so enthusiastic. People are like, oh, yes, thank God, something. And I just can't help but think that that is a more widespread, maybe unspoken need that a lot of queer people have right now. And which kind of brings us into another conversation about community. We don't need it in the same way that we did before the internet, before cell phones, before technology got to the way it is now, because we traveled in packs. We knew where people were. We knew who people were, and we were able to protect each other in that sense. I think of like, you know, back in the Stonewall days where they talk about, you know, like, oh, this person would go to this person's house and they'd show up and they'd like yell down a window or whatever. And they were building community very analog and very grassroots. Whereas now we don't do that in the same way. And we don't need it because being queer is on the front line of every political conversation. You know, Pride is now a major international movement. And it's not that we shouldn't have community, it's that we don't need it to survive in the same way that we did 50, 60 years ago. Should we still have it? Yes, because obviously there are marginalized people who are being targeted in disproportionate like numbers to straight people, to like, you know, more binary queer people. But like having that sense of community and building it on purpose, I think is still only found in the queer space in the more marginalized groups. Mm-hmm. And of course it's necessary because of that targeting. But I think as a community as a whole, like, can we just all do it? Like, I'm so here for it. I'm so here to protect and serve. Not that, you know, I'm a cop, but like,
he's a cop, he's the fan.
I'm a cop. End call.
Abort.
Abort. But you know what I mean? You know, like, I want to be here to help and to serve my community and to protect them when need be. And that's hard to do when you're on an app.
No, I get that. I agree 100%. I think that we do need a lot more of those in-person gatherings, those things that help everybody just feel welcomed and feel whole and feel supported and know that regardless of once you leave these rooms, you still have people who's on your side that exist in the reality of things, that regardless of what you see on the news or what you see on your thread, that once you come here, you're going to be loved. you're going to be loved on and you're going to be appreciated.
Well, and I think that is also, unfortunately, the burden of the people in the community that don't feel welcome. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this from a place of like understanding what my privilege in society is just because of who I am, like as a white can be straight presenting person if I need to be, that's on a binary spectrum. But like a lot of this is the fault of promoters of events. You know, you put the white muscle gaze on the front of everything, and then that immediately ostracizes 98% of the community. And like, are you going there to like hopefully have the some fantasy fulfilled? Maybe. I don't think that in that sense of like the club events and going to a club and going to drag shows and whatnot, I don't think that that's what we're talking about per se. Mm-hmm. Like there's a time and a place for that. It's not my bread. It's not my jam. I don't want to do that. But I tried to create an event with a club owner here that would have been highlighting queer authors within the gay community in New York. And it was going to be like a book signing, a reading with multiple authors. We would have a host. There'd be music. There'd be food in the middle of the day. It'd be like a Saturday afternoon. And it would be very community center feel in that it wouldn't be a dance club. There wouldn't be a drag show. There wouldn't be go-go boys. Not that there's anything wrong with any of those things, but it would just be something off the beaten path to create a sense of community around queer people who want to support and know and get to learn more about queer authors and read their material. And maybe they're an aspiring writer themselves and they don't necessarily have someone that they can have touch points with in person to facilitate that kind of life that they want to have. And again, because the apps have put this barrier between all of us, there's not a need to do something like that. But I think it's something that we all want. Mm.
You said what needed to be said.
I could go on about this forever.
Right. Now, on that note, are you ready for a little Never Have I Ever?
Oh my God, I love this game. Oh God, okay. Let's see how well I can embarrass myself here.
Well, it's going to be one question and I'm going to do a would you rather. Okay. For today, never have I ever tried to get someone to orgasm as quickly as possible in order to be done with sex.
I have absolutely done that.
Same. Like, it's not that... I don't know. Sometimes I just be rushing myself because I know that I have like some time on my hand, but I'd rather spend that time like watching anime or something like that. Again, I invited you over here to, you know, get me to this one point. Like, this is why here. This is why it's different for me when I'm engaging with people that I'd consider like a friends with benefits versus you're here for the nut. If you're here for the nut, go ahead, get me to this point, or you get to your point, and then I finish myself off the way I want to be satisfied. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your contributions to that. But I just need you to go ahead and go. But whenever I'm engaging with people that I've built that connection with and have friendship and camaraderie with, I clear out my schedule. I'm like, look, we can have a good time. Like, let's enjoy each other's company. Let's enjoy each other's bodies. Let's have a fun time. Yeah. Like I've had 3-hour sessions with people before, and that's just because of the connection or the play that we were doing, and I enjoy those. But yeah, outside of that, just get the job done, okay? Like, you know why you're here.
Get in, get out.
What were some of the contributing factors for your get in and get done situation?
Oh my God. To be honest with you, there are so many of them that I don't know. I think it was either I was busy and it was just like I need this to go quick because I have shit to do. I'm sure there have probably been some where I was like in a public space and like we were trying to like just have the experience and get it done before we get arrested. Mm-hmm. But you know, I mean, as far as like in my apartment, I faked it before because like some shit wasn't aligning right, and I was like, oh, I'm done, I'm so sorry, that was quick. So
I have a story for that.
tell it.
So I can come multiple times, right? And there's been times where someone will, you know, make me nut or whatever, and they think that I'm done, but I'm really not. I can continue going. But if I am not like the sexual chemistry is not matching, or I'm not really feeling it anymore, and I'm just like, yeah, you need to go, I just act as though, oh my gosh, that just took everything out of me.
I'm just so tired. Oh,
thank you so much. Did you? Oh, you didn't? Oh my God.
I've done like the, when I was really young, when I was like 19, I had this guy came over who did not look like his photographs on gay.com, because this was pre apps and smartphones. So we used gay.com. There was Manhunt. There were other websites, whatever, that you would like type into it, whatever. But gay.com had chats. And so I was talking to this guy. He was a little older. And I was like, cool, you look like a hot, like bald, bearded, get the situation done. And he came over and it just was not that. It just wasn't good. It was not well represented in the online sphere. And what we had talked about online was taking a bath together and then like hooking up and having fun after we took like this, because I had this big jacuzzi tub in my first apartment. I don't know how I ended up with that, but like it just was what it was. And you know, it was like a regular bathtub that just had jets in it, you know, whatever. And he came over and just like immediately started getting undressed to get into the bathtub. And I was like, oh, what am I gonna do? And so what I did do, and I'm not proud of this, especially because I keep seeing this person around town and have for the last 18 years, every so often I'll just see them and be like, while I was like, you get into the bathtub, I'm gonna go grab something out of my bedroom. And when I went over to the bedroom, I threw a bunch of shit on the floor and pretended I fell and hit my head. And I was like, oh my God. And I just was like, I basically like not faked a concussion, but I was like, I think I need to go to a hospital.
Wow.
And so I got him out of my apartment and then I was like, oh fuck. He deserved an Oscar for that one.
Yes.
It's like, oh God, I hit my head on the door. I'm like,
Wow. I like, honestly, I'm not mad at the approach. That's one passive way to get out of sex. So
I didn't know what else to do. He was naked and in my bathtub. Wow. I'd already run the water. I'd already put the bath bomb in it. Like, I wasted a perfectly good bath bomb on this guy who just like was not who he said he was.
Wow. See, this what was he, a catfish, or he just, it was like an older,
it was like, or... it was an older photo, it was very strategically cropped. And it just wasn't what the doctor ordered.
Jeez. Mm-mm-mm-mm. That's like when, yeah. That's like the reason why I don't like receiving dick pics, is because like, you came over here and you had these pictures and for some reason things aren't measuring up. You could have just been honest with yourself.
Listen, are things ever measuring up? Like some of these guys that are like, oh, it's 8 inches. I was like, your thumb is larger than that. Where are you measuring from? Your your tramp stamp? Like what?
The under,
something like that. But also like, what is, guys, stop doing this. If you're listening, please stop doing this. I met up with someone the other day, and by met up with, I mean, I saw them across the street, realized they had lied and pretended I didn't see them and kept walking. And that is very not my style. That is, I'm so not that person. But this person told me that they were 6'5" and like this big, hairy, beefy bear. And I don't know if the photo that he sent me of his face was older, but it was not his face. And he might have been 5'10 on a good day.
Oh.
Now I'm 6'4. I know what 6'5 looks like. It's eye level with me. If I'm looking down at you, you're not taller than me. And it was just like, I can understand saying that you're 6'5 if you're 6'4. That I can understand. But if you're gonna tell me that you're 6'5 and you're 5'9, honey.
Like what the fuck did you think was going to happen?
Exactly. Like literally, what did you think? Not that I have to be with a guy who is tall. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's just like, he wasn't unattractive. I was just mad that he lied about it. And then it's like, what else are you going to lie about?
Exactly. Like that's my mindset when it comes to people and meeting up with them, and they just lie about the most frivolous thing. Like, why did you even lie? Like, what? I already told you
but
that
men do this all the time. Men lie about their height all the time. It's so dumb. I used to be friends with this guy who used to say he was 6'4". I could see the top of his head. And it's not that he wasn't tall, but he was not 6'4". And I told him about it one time because he was like, oh, you know, we're 6'4" guys. I was like, I can see the top of your head. And I patted him on the head and he had an utter meltdown in the bar and didn't speak to me ever again.
Well, you know, you shattered his lie in front of him and he wasn't ready for that truth. And that's honestly
like,
his
but
problem.
But like, why lie in the first place? I don't understand. Like, just be yourself. Again, authenticity piece. Just be yourself. Just please be yourself. There's so much bullshit in the world. We don't need bullshit from our peers. Like, stop it. Just be yourself.
Yeah, that's like when I keep seeing these posts of people. Like, if it's elective surgery, do whatever you want. I'm happy for you. And most definitely, if you can afford it, great for you. But whenever I see these pieces of people and the reasons behind them,
the
going to
of people.
Get, right.
When I see pieces people. Of people.
These articles about people who either go off and get some kind of elective surgery because they were rejected for this one thing throughout their life. I get the insecurity. I truly
totally, understand. 100%. The body dysmorphia is strong.
It is so strong in this country. But like, there's a
no,
point where
I
you
meant
have
with
to.
Me, but yes.
Oh. I feel you. But like, there's a point where you have to recognize, like, sometimes the person that you're going after just doesn't like you. You
and
change
that's okay.
Yourself. You changing yourself is not going to mean that they're going to like you even more.
Well, but, and that too also kind of speaks to, like, you have so, like with the apps, you have so much access to so many people. If this one person doesn't like you for some innocuous, stupid fucking reason, block them.
Amen.
Moving on, girl. You're already swiping.
We're not swipers.
What is the fixation on this one person that doesn't like you for something stupid? Like, literally.
Like,
someone will. If the internet has taught us anything, is that there is something for everyone.
Like, I remember seeing this post about somebody who spent like $80,000 to get taller, and I was like, bitch, first and foremost, if you were still whatever height you were, I found you attractive. Like, I get old girl did not like, hello, do you want a man? I can be your man. And then on top of that, that was at the base level before I looked at how much you spent. Sir, you mean you need a house husband? All right, fine, you cute.
Well, and that's the other thing too, like in the fitness industry, you know, of course there's a lot of problematic shit there, but like some of these guys post before and after pictures, and most of the time I'm more attracted to the before.
Child. Ooh, oh
like my. You get to that 0% body fat shit and I just want to give you a burger. I don't care how many muscles you have. Like, it's not, I don't like it. You like, looked better before.
I have someone that I know, well, I don't know them like super personally anymore, but in my past I knew them quite well, and I was like, they're heterosexual, so I wasn't trying to pursue it in any way, but it's like, you're very attractive, extremely attractive. And then they started on their fitness journey, started bulk up, and that became their identity of being bulkier than other people. And over the years, I'm like, I see this person as being less attractive to me personally. Of course, I'm quite sure they have plenty of people who love them and how they look now, but I'm just like, do you not know who the fuck you, oh my God.
I know, like, but it's also like that body dysmorphia thing. Like, if you don't like the skin that you're in, I'm all for changing it if it's going to make you happy. But like, there is a line, girl. And I think it is so important to have friends around you who are willing to tell you to stop.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, you've gotten there. Maybe it's, you know, hot take. Listen, there have been so many deaths in the gay community recently that people are like, oh, what happened? I'm like, girl, roids and meth. You can tell. Like, I'm so sorry they died. That sucks. But as a friend, don't you think maybe it would have behooved everyone involved to be like, are you okay? Like, you can tell when either of those things are happening. Mm-hmm. So just like have a sit, like, again, and this is like the breakdown of friendship and connection and communication within the community because of apps. And it just I'm sure I'm gonna get hate for this, but like, stop acting surprised when people who put this shit into their body end up in a hospital or dead. It sucks. It is awful. I've had friends in the past who have died for those reasons. You know, their addiction is something that has affected my family firsthand. You know, I don't not empathize with these people. I don't not understand it. But it just makes me so frustrated. Because why are you doing that in the first place? To reach some kind of like aesthetic or social acceptance within the group of people that you're with? Like, yes, that's important. Of course, we all want to feel that. Again, broken down things because of the apps and stuff. But like, do we need to be doing steroids and meth to get there? And I've talked to guys online who are like, oh, PNP? And I'm like, that's fucking disgusting, man. No. And they're like, you don't have to be so judgmental. I was like, why not? You're putting meth in your body.
Honestly, I respect that point of view. Someone can be upset with me if they want. That's fine. We all have our opinions. And you don't have to follow my opinion on that either. But I agree, because like, I get, you know, recreational, you want to utilize these drugs, but there's other things that you can do. Are you chasing certain things to heal a broken heart? Are you healing trauma or whatever the case is? There's therapy for that. And I can help you find the resources that you need.
Literally, the next words out of my mouth. Literally, I was going to say, you need pizza and therapy. Like, just, it's okay. It's okay.
Like, I've had people who reach out to me and they're on that PMP stuff. Like, even I have to admit, I had a regular who was a meth head, and I would just be like, you know, you do your things on your time and, you know, enjoy that. But just know that when it comes to us hooking up, I'm not going to be partaking in anything like that. You can't use that in my house. You know, do your things on your own time. But at the end of the day, hey, I'm still encouraging therapy on a regular basis. You need to talk to somebody about things.
I won't even hook up with them. I won't, because like, the two things that I don't need to happen are to, one, see that happening. I don't need to see people injecting shit into, like, it just makes me uncomfortable. It makes me sad. But also, I don't need to be inside of someone who dies. Like, that scares the shit out of me. I had an experience where I thought that had happened a while back, not because of meth. It was because of like overuse of poppers. This person just like collapsed and went limp. And I was like, like, I was still in. And I was like, hello, are you okay? You all right? And I stopped and I like crawled up to their face and I was like, you good? And they're like, oh yeah, sorry. Sometimes that happens. I'm like, sometimes that happens. Like, I gotta go.
Exactly.
I do not need a dead body in my apartment.
And that's the other, like, me and that regular, we're no longer like in communications, everything. He refused therapy too, way too often. So, you know, that relationship dissolved where it needed to stop. But like the other thing, like poppers, I don't deal with that. And I don't even, I do my best not to dabble.
Me nauseous.
Like, I don't get it. Like, it smells like nail polish. Like, like, for those who enjoy that, do you, but also understand what you're doing with your body. Like, I'm a firm believer that I don't need poppers for my asshole to relax, to engage in sex with somebody. And if the person that I'm engaging with is impatient, then I don't need them in my sex life. And I am not afraid to end sex with anybody.
No. And of course, again, it's like, I try to be as sex positive as possible. And I'm very much like, do you, but it also is just like, I'm also going to do me. And that doesn't include what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's such a hard line for me to walk, to not be politically correct, but to be accepting of other people and what their journey is. But at the same time, want to shake them and be like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, like, I had a friend. I mean, we've all had friends overdose. We've all had friends who have taken steroids whose heart explodes because, like, hello, it's a muscle. You're growing muscles. You're taking muscle growth hormones. Your heart's a muscle. It grows. Hello. Like, the last thing you want to have is an enlarged heart. So maybe don't do that.
Yeah.
It's the one thing about the queer community that drives me nuts and makes me the most sad, because it's something that can be avoidable.
I agree.
We have enough problems. because of other people? Why inflict more on ourselves?
Mm-hmm. And the culture of drugs within the queer community is very interesting if you sit down and think about it. And it's so harmful and it's so saddening to.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to harp on this for too long, but I did this one particular friend that died of an overdose. He tried to convince me that it was okay that he was doing meth because he was getting his graduate degree in biochemistry engineering or something like that. And because he was working with chemistry, he knew what he was doing. And I was like, okay. And then a couple years later, he was fucking dead of an overdose. And I was like, okay, well, I guess you didn't really know what you were doing, were you? Did you? It was like, it just, I don't know, it breaks my heart.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Depressing conversations at the end of a Holiloquy podcast episode with Edward. Oh my God. But you know, this is why I have the disclaimer at the front of every episode. Right,
we never know where this is going to go. Never know.
But on a different note, Edward, other than depressing us even further, do you
have sorry. That was not my intention.
It is okay. It is okay. Do you have any other last words that you would like to share with the audience before I close this out?
I don't know. I feel like maybe we should do a Never Have I Ever to like lift the spirits of things.
We can. Just we'll do this. Would you rather?
Okay.
Would you rather watch your partner masturbate or have your partner watch you masturbate?
I think my answer is neither.
Interesting.
And it's not like an, oh, I don't want them to watch me or, oh, I don't want to see that. It's just that I'm a very tactile person.
Mm-hmm.
And so if my partner was doing that, I would want to join in. I wouldn't want to just stand there and be like, duh. I'd want to partake.
Mm-hmm. So this is one of those questions I'd just say both of them because I'd rather it just be us engaging in masturbation, watching each other do it, and then on exchange, like mutual masturbation, just, you know, enjoy it together. Because if I'm going to be in the room and my partner's body is out in this way, I'm going to be like, hey, can I like engage in this with you? Like,
right. Well, that's what I mean. Like, do it together. I want to enjoy it together.
Right, I want to touch you now. Like, how dare you come into this room naked and think you're not going to get touched? And now, if they say, "Oh, you cannot touch me, bitch," now we're into some role play shit. Like, oh my god, why can't I touch you?
I feel like maybe this is like super old man of me, but I feel like if I was with someone that was doing that and I was like, "Let me touch you," and they said no, I'd be like, "Cool, I'm gonna go sit in the living room and watch TV then," because this feels like a waste.
See, for me, of course, if my partner says no, I'm not going to push, but in the certain moments I will, like, if I feel kinkiness going on in this no, you're denying is that what you're saying?
But daddy, I love him.
Oh, child, let me not challenge the Dom in me today. All righty. So, look, we ended that on Vernon almost bringing out his whip. So, I have my writing crop right here to the right of me, as you can
see. Oh, amazing. Right, I love.
So, I almost brought it out. But, yeah, any last words now?
Sure. I mean, just follow me on things, you know, like, I love having these conversations. They're difficult conversations, of course, sometimes. And, you know, I think they can also be fun. And I think you've done a very good job at like facilitating a very difficult conversation, multiple of them, and still have fun talking about it, because I'm a big advocate of learning through humor and learning through laughing, because we have to be able to look at ourselves and realize how ridiculous we are and laugh about it, because life is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, it's heightened, it's scary, it's weird. There's a lot of emotions happening. And so if you're unable to laugh at it, like, come on, like I'd much rather have a serious conversation with someone and be able to laugh during it and about it than not, you know? So like, I'm here for it. Hit me up. Let's do it.
Yes. Well, you know, I'll be in DMs.
Do it.
On that note, again, Edward, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And to the audience out there, thank you all so much for listening to the Holy Lucky podcast, where we step out and speak on sexuality. And just in case no one else told you this today, you are beautiful. You are worthy of happiness and joy. You are enough and then some. You may not live up to the expectations of others, but that is okay. You are only required to walk in your own shoes. May each day you live lead you towards abundance. With that said, love you all and see you next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Holiloquy Podcast, where we step out and speak on sexuality. You can subscribe to the podcast through your favorite podcasting app and find us on the web at www.holiloquy.com. That's www.HEAUXLILOQUY.com. Share the podcast with your friends and join the conversation.